The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Quip, and you listeners can save $10 on refills by going to tryquip.com/lasertime.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where the B is for bargain. I am your host, Bob Hippopotamus Oath Mackey, and this is the Lasertime Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who is with me today?
Hi, everybody!
Hi, Dr. Nick!
What did that come from? Hi, I'm Chris Antista.
Dr. Nick is here. Awesome.
Hi!
Celebrity guest.
And I'm Henry Gilbert, and I'm hatless. I repeat, hatless.
Hatless.
And today's episode is Homer's Triple Bypass, which aired on December 17th, 1992, and Chris will tell us what happened on this mythical day in history.
Oh my God! Holy shit, Bobby, this week in history, Eric Clapton's Unplugged is a smash hit. Speaking of MTV, MTV adds director's credits to their music videos for the first time. Elaine Benes accidentally reveals her nipple on a Christmas card to Mr. Seinfeld, and Peyo, creator of the Smurfs of a Smurf Attack. He was Smurfity One.
I prefer Eric Clapton. Oh, Jesus. I was going to say, I prefer Eric Clapton's earlier work about his dying children.
rather than his work about his dead children?
He totally turned that tragedy into a paycheck, didn't he?
There's a great Mr. Show sketch about it.
Yeah, that's all I can think of now.
Tears are nature's
onions.
Sad songs
onions,
are nature's onions.
Sad songs are nature's onions.
Thank you. That is a classic Seinfeld as well. Yeah.
But that's how old this is. I just can't believe it. Like, when MTV made a change to the music video, they played on their channel, which
yes,
I don't think they've done in 10 years.
And that class of directors would totally go on to be the directors of the late 90s
yes,
that everybody loved.
Like Gary Gray, your David Finchers.
Spike Jones. Michael Romanek?
Yeah.
Romanek.
So was that the Seinfeld where Elaine smashed George's face into her breast?
Here's your card!
Yeah.
Here's your card, yes.
That was when I think I first fell in love with Elaine. I'm like, she's not just 90% hair. There's a beautiful woman under that.
I mean, she's still got it going on, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, they gave her like a poodle face because I think that like everybody would just... She'd be too hot to be like on the level of these three unfuckable men.
Yeah. Well, canonically, Jerry did fuck her once, but that
he
was
did,
it.
He did.
Oh, no, they did. They dated at no, that one did, time, and then they also had the Friends with Benefits episode.
That's the one I was
not
thinking
talking
of, yeah.
Seinfeld.
I'm sorry. We'll start that later in life. So, this is the Homer Triple Bypass. I want to start off by saying... Probably this is one of the two greatest animated episodes in Simpsons history.
With Homer Goes to College?
I would say the other David Silverman episode that I love that's number one for me is next season's Halloween episode, Treehouse of Horror 4.
Oof, boy, that is really great animation.
They're both Silverman at the top of his game. And this one...
Is that why Silverman is the key link here?
He is the most talented animator, mm-hmm. director. Not
All
my,
around.
Yeah.
He gets The Simpsons better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Say.
And this episode gets away with a lot because the subject of a 36-year-old man having a triple bypass operation is so tragic, they needed to sweeten it up with some cartoony animation.
Man,
so
you hit that on the head. Because I didn't. Yeah. Like only afterward did I talk to people having heart operations on this level. And the idea that you would have this with a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, like,
yeah.
This is really early.
I mean, I
didn't know the joke. I think that is part of the joke of this episode.
When I was a kid, I had an elderly neighbor who had a bypass operation.
Yeah.
And I when you're that age, everyone who's old is just old. So seeing Homer get this done, I'm like, oh, he's an old guy.
Course.
But
he's
now that I'm 2 years younger than him, and now that I know a 36-year-old man in real life, Chris.
Hi.
Yes. Yeah, and it's...
I almost died on a hike. How's it going?
But yeah, Homer... Homer is so much fun in this, and I think that is why he has to have Warner Brothers-y posing in it.
It's
to
be so cool, dude. Every frame of it.
Even tiny scenes that aren't as well animated as a heart attack, like Homer like chewing.
Yeah.
Like there's a great chewing scene in this episode. It's just these tiny touches that they can never get away with outside of the context of this episode.
If you're somehow new to this episode, we are very entertained when The Simpsons behaves more like a cartoon and less like a player of popsicle sticks. Playmate of popsicle sticks.
Yeah, and this one is co-written by Michael Carrington, who would do random voices on the show. Whenever you'd hear a voice like, hey, that's none of the regulars, that's Michael Carrington in most cases, like Sideshow Raheem. That's in the Valentine's Day episode, Choo Choo Choose Me.
We should say he's a black man.
And there's also, and also he is the drill instructor in Simpsons Tide.
He's also in Homer and Apu. He's the stand-up comedian that talks about how white people and black people drive.
We're so
is
lame.
He really?
Yeah.
I've only heard this. I think I've said this on the show before. I've only heard this from the South Park creators, which they said, we're going to do all the voices ourselves. I'm like, well, you can't do Chef. And they said, why? And like, because you can't be white guys voicing a black guy on television.
Tell that to Harry Shearer.
Yeah, apparently.
He was grandfathered in.
But
that's Carl.
Why they have Isaac Hayes. Like, they're biggest celebrity at the time.
Well, you know,
based on South Park.
Based on Bob's suggestion, I listened to the Mike Reese episode of the Gilbert Gottfried Show podcast.
And, really fun show, by the way.
And he talks about how it's that episode in particular is amazing because Mike Reese is so loose. He's swearing up a storm. He talks about how much he hates Harvard and how much he hated Johnny Carson. And he talks about, too, why Smithers was not black after the first episode. They said, like, oh, this is weird to have, like, this subservient black man to this rich white guy.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to do that.
It's, so he was supposed to be black.
It was not an animation mistake.
I always thought
they
it
just
was.
Decided, like, nah, he's white and gay now. We'll just do it. He same deal he said about how when they created the Quickie Mart and someone was going to go in there, he said, someone was going to talk to the cashier there. He said, not Indian. It's so racist. We don't want an Indian voice. Yeah. Don't do it. And then Hank Azaria just did the Indian voice and everybody laughed so much. They're like, well, we're stuck with it now.
It's so great and somewhat tragic that Apu is Indian because Hank Azaria wanted a cheap laugh. Yes. That's what created the character. He became a beloved figure.
They deepened his background much more. Yeah. He is not a one-off joke. But I would not be an SJW if I didn't say I can totally empathize and I agree with people take offense.
Me too.
At the character
but
of
like Apu. Like having to realize this, oh yeah, I grew up with Hindu friends. Jesus, why am I all of a sudden caring about it now? Don't ask questions. Let's just entertain ourselves.
Yes.
But that like they managed to make that person a human being with like I have outside interests and they're colored by this thing that you don't normally see on television, period. Where am I going to see a Hindu someone tell you the name of the Hindu god on television
or be a
be accurate about
technician
it.
And and all this thing. Yeah, it was I think the immigration episode of the show is one that did him the most favors of deepening his character.
Let's go back to 1992 to when this, like, because this is like the third episode in a row to open with a really fucking on the nose.
This
parody.
Only just became dated, but
did it?
Yeah.
Oh. Bad cops, bad cops. Love this whole intro. Bad cops, bad cops. Springfield cops are on the take, but what do you expect? We make whether in a car or on a horse. We don't mind using excessive force.
That's not dated at all.
Nope. Same condemnation, though.
Yeah. All right, boys. Time to bag us a cattle rustler.
What in God's name are you doing?
Isn't this 742 Evergreen Terrace?
No, that's next door.
Simpson's house.
Yeah.
Close, but no donut, cops.
This is Papa Bear. Put out an APB for a male suspect driving a car of some sort, heading in the direction of, that place that sells chili. Suspect is hatless. Repeat, hatless.
So,
I'd like to point out that, like, if you live anywhere in America, Wendy sells chili. Yeah. So it could be any direction in the universe.
There's a lot in there. Just like in New Kids on the Block, they got the address wrong. This time, 742 Evergreen Terrace is next door to Lovejoy.
Yeah.
And Snake has very much settled in as like he's the default criminal now. When they write a criminal does something, it's Snake, aka Jailbird.
So
I like to think of it as Spicoli all grown up.
Cops, the TV show, one of the first real reality shows, is the longest running Fox show besides The Simpsons after America's Most Wanted.
And only just because it just barely got canceled, didn't
it? Yeah, 23 seasons on Fox, moved to Spike in 2013. There are 987 episodes as of this recording.
More
than
almost The Simpsons.
1,000 episodes of Cops.
Wow. And they're all. The same.
It's all about skinny white guys getting dragged out from under couches.
Yeah, the same level of like unentertaining. Like, well, I feel just sad for watching that.
It's depressing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it though it was. It could be fun to watch too. I always liked it when it would be like they're doing our city. It's our city. On Cops,
they never did my
Cops.
City. They did like they only did like that's where I play soccer in Tampa.
They never did my city.
But like the best episode of the Cops is still on the X-Files.
X-Cops is one of the greatest episodes. Listen to our X-Files podcast of Laser Time we did to hear us talk about.
Voted in a recent poll. People's least favorite.
X-Cops.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I don't have any responsibility for that one. It's reliant upon you knowing the X-Files.
Yeah, but X-Cops is one of my all-time favorite episodes.
There's also...
And it is by the creator of Breaking Bad.
I'm obligated to mention that there is a Duckman episode that is a Cops episode, and I'm sure when the writers are writing it... Writing in the fact that it's all handheld camcorders.
But they did the handheld thing.
Yes.
It's crazy to look at. You don't have to know anything about animation during this period, except that it had to be done by hand. And they did a Cops first-person parody.
I get the Klasky Chupo for doing that. That was good.
A lot of it's just the camera bobbing up and down, but there are first-person perspective shots of animation moving past the camera.
But
it's amazing.
When you watched as many sitcoms at the same time as I did then in the 90s, you come to see that like every sitcom writer was experiencing the same thing in the same time.
Yeah.
In the same year, they all watched Cops. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, a lot of them got vasectomies. So that we plots about that on shows. And then they went to their first Indigenous People's Casino. And so there was every show had at least one episode about that.
I always assume it was a rip from the headlines thing, but I guess it's just probably the way people are experiencing life.
I mean, you know, Native American casinos are all over California.
Yeah.
So
is this the first mention of 742 Evergreen Terrace?
Yeah, which, again, 742 Evergreen Podcast was like up there in my top two
damn you SEO
titles for the show.
So I don't know where the number comes from, 742, but Evergreen is a reference to Groening's alma mater, Evergreen State College in Washington. I did not know that before looking it up, so that's why it's Evergreen Terrace. I don't know where the number comes from. Maybe you do.
And Wiggum has never been stupider than in this scene. I mean, he'll get stupider, but he's
briefly smarter in the next episode exclusively, but that's it.
Very briefly. But
we'll get to that.
And meanwhile, Homer is very unhealthy, eating in bed.
Yes.
Honey, you really shouldn't eat so much in bed. It's not good for your heart.
My heart is just...
Homie, what is it?
Just working the turkey through.
All these facial expressions are like... I don't know. Like, I wish
having a heart attack's less funny to me now than when I watch this as a kid. Like, it really is.
Thinking of that line about the 1,000 daggers of fire stabbing you in the heart, it is now slightly painful to me.
No,
it used to be funny.
I get it now. I take too big a hit off my vape, and I have to sit down for a while and hold my chest. It happens.
Well,
just
now
working the vape through.
I mean, this episode scared me more because. I am more unhealthy than you guys. I had gotten in better shape, and then I let go of it again. Depression, whatever. And so,
are you worse or better than you were when you started getting in shape?
Pretty much the same. Basically,
but
the
just
same.
Do it again. I was amazed by how much
I can do it. Yeah. I can do it, and I feel
you
like
do
recent
H E N E R G E Y on Twitter.
I felt also like recent events in politics have made me feel powerless in my life, and I want to at least take control over me.
Yeah, if you're really buff, you could beat up a bunch of Republicans.
I could.
I'm going to put on weight because I want to die now. So
there's that.
Let's all work on our own goals.
Well, it's one way or the other. And this made me think about it more too. Like eating in bed, like just eating garbage all the time. Like then Homer won't even eat oatmeal, which is like mostly sugar. Oatmeal is mostly sugar. It's barely
even
healthy.
If you're getting the maple brown sugar.
This was a period in time where it's like fat is bad for you, meat is bad for you. But really, we learn carbs are the worst thing for you.
I mean, I think he's better off eating oatmeal, a bowl of oatmeal than bacon and eggs and cheese.
I agree with you in terms of sheer calories.
Homer is like rounder and happier than he looked in this episode.
And oblivious.
I keep hearing this horrible irregular thumping noise.
It's your heart. and I think it's on its last thump.
Woo! I was afraid it was my transmission.
Hey, where's he going?
Billy, remember that old Plymouth we just couldn't fix?
We're going to sell him to Mr. Nicopopoulos?
You're a dull boy, Billy.
You're a dull boy.
I can love blue-collar Bronson and Hank Azaria.
One, what did you think of the first? No, not the first. Thing. It's maybe the second gratuitous mole man death in a while.
Featuring the home of Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, actually, you know what? No, I did. I did look this up. Based on his appearances, the order of his appearances, this is the first time he has died or he's like exploded. He'd been in many episodes before in Hans Moleman.
Down
but
I go.
They weren't as into violence against him until that one. And the birthpace of Edgar Allan Poe, that's pretty funny too.
It's still funny.
It's a Family Guy-ish thing now of, well, not Family Guy, it's just... It is a token joke you see everywhere of the place a thing bursting into flames when it shouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
You see that a lot.
The birthplace of like famous people. One of my favorite movies is L.A. Story, where Steve Martin constantly goes to visit the grave of William Shakespeare in L.A. Like it's something I never got as a kid, and I watched it as an adult. I'm like, this is great.
Show's over, Shakespeare.
Just bought this. And Burns is at peak. Burns.
I feel like it's been a long time since we've seen Burns. Like,
he was not in the last.
Oily hides.
That's it. I had it isolated to throw it whenever I wanted.
He was not in the last two episodes.
Really?
What self control they showed. They're so in love with Burns.
Well, at that point, they had had the sea captain, and so they could fill. They're like, we're scratching our sea captain itch now. But now they're back to Burns, though, very lightly.
We're still at peak Burns, though.
Look at that pig stuffing his face with donuts in my time.
That's right. Keep eating. Little do you know, you're drawing ever closer to the poison donut. There is a poisoned one, isn't there, Smithers?
No, sir. I discussed this with our lawyers. They consider it murder.
Damn, they're oily hate!
It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite clips ever.
And it does stick with his hate of lawyers. He really does hate lawyers.
That has the great scene of Homer just chewing, like just indulging in eating a donut. It's even a small, like just the mouth moving looks better than it ever has before in this episode.
Well, then Homer, you know, even in my unhealthiest, I don't buy a box of donuts and just eat them. Like that's
Hank,
really bad.
I've told this dumb story. I had to like eat donuts. I wasn't poor, but my parents didn't give me any money, and like I had to like basically dance for rich kids by eating as many donuts every lunch that I could.
Wow.
For money to buy a Genesis. So like I am traumatized against donuts. I know they taste good, but they feel like shit when you eat more than like, let's say you had to eat six to entertain a bunch of preppy kids. So they'd give you $5 towards your Genesis. Happened to me.
I think we're forgetting Homer already ate breakfast, too, like just an hour ago.
And a pile of bacon and eggs, which I did like Bart's when... I always love the line, "Yeah, there's a bug on that." He eats it. But when I watched it this time, I was like, there's genuine concern on Bart's face. Like, they drew that in there. Like, "Yeah, there's a bug on that."
If I can say it now before later that... We talked, the Poison Pugu episode. What's the title of that episode?
One Fish, Two Fish.
Blowfish,
Bluefish?
That was the episode where, like, we were little kids and we all agreed, well, at least Hank and I did, that we thought Homer was going to die.
I was sure he was going to die. This time I didn't believe, I don't think I
But I think
it,
The Simpsons was so outlandish and, like, it was like nothing anyone had seen before that people did believe when they promoted it as Homer's going to get poisoned and die. Everybody watched that episode. I remember that episode. Yeah. Everybody talking about
that episode. There's a chance. In that episode, there's like, no, you're going to die. Here's a timer.
Yeah.
Like, there's a ticking clock in that episode.
I think that gave them the mandate to do that again. Yeah. I think that's what this episode is. Like, you're supposed to be convinced Homer might die.
I feel like there's way less emotion. It's more played for comedy than that episode.
There's a couple of really heartfelt moments here.
Yeah.
At least one, yeah.
The Homer's... Well, the open-heart surgery thing on the dad on the show, I mean, it was a sitcom staple too. Well, I don't want to say staple, but... Family Ties, that's the one with Michael J. Fox, right?
Yes.
On Family Ties... They had a very special episode. Mm-hmm. There was a two-parter where the dad had a heart attack and he had dangerous surgery and they weren't sure he was going to make it. It was one of those Emmy grab episodes.
Really?
I remember they advertised it so heavily.
Maybe that's
just
what
as much as they did the one where like Alex P. Keaton's best friend dies and he can't deal with it. Like this actor had never been on the show before, but it's his best friend.
He's my best friend ever.
And the show becomes a one-act play, essentially. Yeah,
with a therapist. But I think this was a pitch by James L. Brooks to have Homer dealing with his heart attack. But it feels like taken out of the very special episode thing, even though this episode is not a very special episode.
No. But this next scene, it's too bad you can't see it, but I think it's like Burns reading from a child's joke book. That's what it feels like. This scene is like very vaudevillian,
there's
very obvious.
There's one extra joke in here that that it's time filler. There's
I'm
a couple
being terrible.
Yeah.
A grave for
relax, Simpson. I just brought you in here for a friendly hello and goodbye. You're fired. But wait, perhaps I'm being too hasty. You are highly skilled at goofing off. Now, don't worry, Homer. You're
people.
The kind of guy I could really dig. A grave for.
It's so corny.
This is inefficacious. That means you're terrible.
That was good. The animation.
Mr. Burns, I think he's dead.
Oh, dear. Send a ham to his widow.
Ham.
He's back in his body.
No, wait. He's alive.
Oh, good. Cancel the ham.
No!
I'm putting Henry on the spot. One of those drawings needs to be the cover art for this episode.
All right, it will be.
You can't ignore it.
It will be.
His facial expressions in that are like... There's no other episode where those are recreated.
No, because that felt like Silverman just drew it all. Like, they released his poses, you know? They were his. They were his drawings, and the picture-in-picture on the heart too was great. And
I'd only seen it in The Grinch at that point.
It reminds me of like Family Dog or something like that, where there are models, but they can break from time to time to be more expressive. And I was like, I had a dream, like, what if every episode looked like this? Maybe this one wouldn't be as special, but God, I just wish there was this much animation.
You would never see Homer ever look like this on the show now, or even in the show 15 years ago, you wouldn't see that.
That's true.
And yeah, it's so creative. David Silverman is so great. It is not a surprise that he would soon take over as the supervising director on the entire show. And he'd come back and forth on the show. He worked Pixar in the late 90s and into the 2000s on Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, that's right.
He was Monsters, Inc., where he brazenly just stole from the Chuck Jones cat cartoon, The Cat and the Big Dog. Mark Anthony cartoon. He just steals from that. If you haven't seen that cartoon, but you've seen Monsters, Inc., where Sully thinks that Boo is dead and his reaction, like, he stole that bit. You're anybody but Chuck Jones. You stole my
cartoon. Is great. The most generic looking Looney Tunes character ever. That cartoon is amazing.
It's the greatest. Well, eat it, Mark. Come on. Like, oh, God. I'm tearing up thinking about it right now.
That's great.
Silverman pointed out, too, that he made sure Homer's ghost, a single toe or his foot, is still imposed on his body, so he's not completely dead.
I mean, it's important we give him credit, though, because I think he also is a writer on the show sometimes. He's listed as a producer on some seasons. Yeah. He writes jokes, and they talk about some jokes he came up with are not just animation.
I wonder if he put his foot down and said, like, I am making up jokes in the animation. Like, I am adding jokes to this. I am a producer.
Yeah. He talked about Ren and Stimpy and how that imploded because it wasn't written by writers. It was written by animators. Mm. Well, this might be that one episode of The Simpsons where, like, that person held sway over.
Yeah.
The Harvard Lampoon writers.
Yeah.
Until
eventually they're just like, nah, it's a machine. Just do what we say.
No need to score this.
Just trace these guys.
Just do a parodies. Hibbert in this is so fucking funny.
The waiting room jokes were cute, by the way. I liked Homer's heart attack might be the art image of it, but I think I will have the secondary art be Wiggum's mouth just open and lose fist in it.
That is my Skype icon. And I have to tell you, I was interviewing Don Bluth over Skype. This is relevant. I was interviewing Don Bluth over Skype, and he was complaining about how animation is not as important anymore. And he was like, people like to watch that thing on your screen, that thing that's your character. And he's referencing Chief Wiggum. He was dissing The Simpsons because he apparently hates it, but that was my avatar on Skype, dude. I'm sorry.
Don Bluth. Wow, I mean that. I love Don Bluth more than anybody. Yeah. He's the greatest.
Calm down.
Not more than anybody, but he is the. He deserves all the respect in the world. But
we will be talking about an American Tale on this week's 30-20-10.
Though to be that out of touch to be like that thing, that new thing, like The Simpsons
is the best theater director there is in Wisconsin now.
Yeah, there's also that. And look, dude, I know you want to make Dragon's Lair the movie, but you can't. Like, you're not gonna.
I kind of wanted to tell him that, but I didn't have the heart to.
Is it like, have you talked to anybody who wanted it? Maybe.
The people want it.
I love Don Bluth. That American Tale, if you haven't watched it, never mind. 302010 this Thursday, everyone. LaserTimePodcast.com. Let's listen to Hibbert, please.
Yes.
Mr. Simpson, I'm afraid you've just had a mild heart attack.
But I'm out of the woods now, right? I mean, whatever doesn't kill me can only make me stronger.
Oh, no, quite the opposite. It's made you weak as a kitten. Look.
This is so funny.
Hey, come on, quit it.
Goochie, goochie, goo.
Stop, please stop.
Oh, you swing like a girl. Come on now.
Please have mercy.
Got your nose.
Not funny.
How about this little bee?
Oh. Oh. Remember your hippopotamus oath.
He's just like playing with over his cheeks. I'm like, what about this
but
little
bee? But
when
Marge tells him to turn around, that's a great visual gag.
Yeah.
Like he's his knees are on the bed as he's playing with Homer's face. Yeah. And he turns around. Oh,
this is the meanest Hibbert's been to this point. Yeah. I did like Homer's remembrance of his life too. It was the youngest we'd seen Homer in the trip through his life, and him singing. The singing is the best.
All Dan though, right?
Yeah.
What a voice! Young Homer's gonna make me a millionaire! Oh, my heart! Hey, my voice just changed. Oh, night when Christ was born! Dagnabbit!
Homer's gonna make me a millionaire in that field of white solo gospel acts.
Everybody loves that.
We love those.
The castrati industry is booming, Chris. Or at least it was in the 60s.
Homer's jiggling fat test is still fun to me.
Homer, this is a new body fat analysis test. I start you jiggling and measure how long it takes to stop.
Woohoo! Look at that blubber fly!
Give that my line of the show. I don't know why. But, like,
I remember that in the ads for the episode.
Yeah.
It was
me
great.
Too.
Yeah. There's also one of several Oh Good Lords in this.
Oh Good Lord.
That was more of a Kelsey Grammer, I'm sorry. But it was when we didn't detect the dye yet. Oh Good Lord.
And I also like Homer's lack of shame. Like, some people would be like, oh my God, am I this fat? But Homer's just like,
really
look at that butterfly. I'm so impressed.
Embracing your body image. My blubber can shake longer
He's
than
body
yours.
Positive.
So
Homer.
For Homer to get his open heart surgery, it's $30,000.
I love the straight talk.
Homer, I'm afraid you'll have to undergo a coronary bypass operation.
Say it in English, Doc.
You're going to need open heart surgery.
Spare me your medical mumbo jumbo.
We're going to cut you open and tinker with your ticker.
Could you dumb it down a shade?
Doctor, we'll do whatever it takes to get my homie well.
Good. I must warn you, though. This procedure will cost you upwards of $30,000. I'm afraid it's now $40,000.
Just so you know, $30,000 is how much it costs me to get a healthcare insurance for 2 years with no pre-existing medical condition.
I was going to say, without insurance, that is probably the cost of like a broken limb. I looked up the cost of a open heart surgery without insurance, and it was $117,000, rough estimate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
you better be rich. You're fucked, people. Trump's coming for your health care.
$30,000 in 1992 is $52,000 today. So, wow. That's such. They said it was.
Dumb it down a bit. Tell me how many PS4s that's worth.
They said $30,000 was the accurate number at the time, and they did do the research.
Yeah.
As comes up multiple times in the commentaries, the writers sometimes have anger at Al Jean for telling him, like, no, do the research. Like,
it was really, there was no internet then, too. Yeah. Like,
they're on phones. Like, how much is healthcare heart surgery?
Hey, you can thank your lucky stars we don't live in Paraguay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why they know so much about foundation repair. It's why they know so much about the legal system. Like,
dude, those jokes hold up a lot better because of how specific they are.
It helps that Mike Reese's dad was a doctor, and he was sort of their medical consultant.
Wow. I hope he gets residuals.
In a country,
well, I think he's dead now.
What are the Simpsons?
In a country with somewhat socialized healthcare, this is not a problem now for Homer, but this has also made it kind of a bummer episode, just thinking about how people had to choose to be broke or dead on this stuff. That's the problem
The food you sold me on my television. Are murdering me, and I have to go in tremendous debt to fix myself.
Or be dead.
Or be dead. Great. I love this country. I need money, too.
Okay. We need $40,000. Now, how much do we have in the checkbook?
$70.
Have we deposited any $40,000 checks that haven't cleared yet?
No. Don't you have health insurance at work?
Well, actually, we gave it all up for a pinball machine in the lounge.
Oh!
Don't worry, Marge. America's healthcare system is second only to Japan, Canada, Sweden, Great Britain, well, all of Europe. But you can thank your lucky stars we don't live in Paraguay.
Isn't that where Amber Dempsey's eyelashes come from?
I think, was that right? Uruguay?
Yeah. Uruguay or Paraguay? You are gay.
You are gay.
You know, I meant to look it up before.
Who didn't look up healthcare in Paraguay? I guarantee
I didn't. It was one of the rare jokes I did not look up.
I meant to look up where America ranks in the world healthcare thing.
Oh, it's
thing.
Way low, baby.
Probably where
it's the most expensive.
Neither Canada or America is in the top 25.
Wow.
Canada is at 30. We're at 37. Below Costa Rica, Dominica, Denmark, Chile, Austria, Finland, Canada, Morocco, Israel. Number one, France, followed by Italy and San Marino.
What's they get for inventing those delectable fries?
So yeah, we are below Paraguay.
We also don't have a dick ton of religion like
true.
This anymore.
No, I know I haven't been the best Christian. In fact, when you're up there blah blah blah, I'm usually doodling or mentally undressing the female parishioners. Well, anywho, can I have $40,000? Now, I know I haven't been the best Jew, but I rented Fiddler on the Roof, and I will watch it. Anyway, can I have $40,000? Now, I know I haven't been the best... Oh, forget it.
Homer will soon love Yentl in a delirious fever, but I want to point out...
That's Sedrudin Mabaradad.
The last appearance of Sedrudin Mabaradad.
Oh, really? Wow.
He will never appear again. He was referenced in Blood Feud, the unsinkable Sedrudin Mabaradad. He was on the TV in Camp Krusty, and this is his final appearance, so dicks out for Sedrudin.
I think it's
cannot
pretty...
be our latest salute.
I skipped over real quick, but... It's really wrong they don't get healthcare work. Like, that's really bad.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a professional, high-level skill job.
Like, we have a whole
insurance.
Show bonus time where I'll go off in healthcare all day.
I hope that wasn't Adam's Family Pinball Table. No other pinball table will be worth your healthcare. Come on.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Are you already tired of 2016? Jump into the past with 302010, our weekly pop culture time machine podcast. Here's something you may remember from 1986.
TV this week.
Yeah, the Late Late Breakfast Show, which was a kind of a weekly, talk show in the UK, was canceled after a stunt gone wrong during rehearsal, so fortunately it didn't air, but a stunt gone wrong killed a stunt person.
Ooh.
And it caused the show to be canceled, and there's an actual announcement saying like show's canceled forever because of this. Bye.
This is BBC One. Because of the tragic accident involving Michael Lush while preparing for tonight's edition of the Late Late Breakfast Show, the BBC has decided to cancel this and all further editions of the program.
Whoa.
So tonight, in place of the Late Late Breakfast Show and Every Second Counts, we're now showing the feature film One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing.
Oh, God.
Guys, a man died.
That's 302010, a weekly look at what happened in pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, every Thursday right here on the Laser Time Network.
Since this episode is all about healthcare people, we thought it'd be a good time to refer back to our buddies at Quip. That's right, superior oral healthcare. No, that's not what you think it is, you pervs. Quip offers simple, elegant electric toothbrushes with replacement brush heads delivered every 3 months. And you can save $10 on those refills by going to tryquip.com/lasertime. Well, why would you? Because lots of marketing dollars are spent to try and sell you toothbrush-based gimmicks. But, you know, none towards us. That's fine. Because Quip, the teams at Quip have sought out the guidance and advice of oral care professionals. So their brushes, from handle design to the vibrations of the brush heads, focus on health over hype, people. Quip offers metal or plastic handles, easy-to-use wall-mounted holsters, and a travel case, and more. Better still, you can take solace in knowing that worn-out bristles will be replaced on time every 3 months, so you don't have to think about it. The electric toothbrush set starts at just $25, with refill plans beginning at $5. But guess what? But once again, you listeners can save $10 on the refills. Listeners can go to tryquip.com/lasertime and get a free $10 refill, which includes brush heads and Quip's own toothpaste. Don't think too much about brushing your teeth anymore. Let the maintenance of better oral care come to you. That's Quip, baby. And tryquip.com/lasertime will save you $10. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
There should be no mistaking what our views are.
You're right, and I was, of course, being obnoxious on Facebook on Friday, Saturday night, and I just said to a couple right-wingers, like, I'm sorry you don't like the way I feel, but unfollow me. It will get worse in the next 72 hours. But instead, what I did was I channeled that, like, I could yell on Facebook all day long. I could share all the memes. I even captured footage from a new Michael Moore movie to, like, annoy everybody.
Right.
And so instead of doing that, like, the option came up, like, why don't you volunteer for the Hillary campaign? Uh-huh. And I'm like, that's great. I can shut my mouth and do something more worthwhile.
You can dial strangers and bother them.
But I volunteer for the campaign. Here's my biggest mistake, and I did not. I said, "Oh, what should I wear?" And Heidi's like, "Oh, you can wear your Make America Ape Again shirt that you got at the Planet of the Apes movie. That is the red shirt with Make America
something again
font with the Planet of the Apes font in the Statue of Liberty." And I did finally hit home. Like, nobody gets this.
Yeah.
And not only does nobody get this, this could convey something even worse.
Yeah.
Like, it's bright as day, and I'm walking through Hillary headquarters in a shirt, and everybody fucking hates me. And then I go to the mall, and it's like, I have now visual proof that we need a Planet of the Apes education program for female Asian teenagers. Because the amount of disgust on these teenage girls' faces, they hated me. And I couldn't... Oh, one guy campaigning for a senator who I didn't vote for, it's like, love this shirt, bro! That's so great! Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
And Homer trying to scam life insurance out of Merry Widow Insurance, which I love that song. It's great.
That's
time.
Another great animation scene.
Animation.
Yeah.
The tug of war over the signature, and Homer like, must sign policy. And the camera turns.
Yeah, there's like a Matrix camera move and like a scene with two people talking. It's great.
These are all little things that I think Simpsons lacks as a cartoon. And you're not going to like this. Family Guy does it all the time. They do it all the time. They animate things painstakingly and add in music. Yeah, absolutely.
They rotoscope old movies sometimes.
No, they really do change the angles and move the camera around.
Those characters can only be drawn in one angle.
There's a ton of music in here that I don't see in the modern
Simpsons. That's true. Yeah. I'm sure it's just like a result of the budget growing.
I don't think they have... There is no end of the well for Simpsons budget.
Here's the thing.
It's not happening.
The more they pay the voice actors, I think the less is there to be spread around for music and animation.
You're the only one to know better than me, both of you.
So then Dr. Nick enters the frame.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Are you looking for a way to slash the cost of your medical expenses?
Boring.
Wait, this might be the answer we're looking for.
I will perform any operation for $129.95. Come in for brain surgery and receive a free Chinese finger trap. Okay, Fred. You tried the best, now try the rest.
Jeez.
Call 1-600-DOCTORB. The B is for bargain.
Oh, Marge, we could do worse.
How?
Some dog could do the operation.
Operation? What are you talking about?
Kids, I have something to tell you.
Oh, homie, I don't know. This might upset them.
Nothing you say can upset us. We're the MTV generation.
We feel neither highs nor lows.
Really? What's it like?
Eh.
Well, you kids are old enough to know the truth, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So the tiny aorta fairies will take Mr. Legvane on a long trip to get married to Princess Left Ventricle.
Dad, are you trying to tell us you're getting a coronary artery bypass graft?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What if they botch it? I won't have a dad.
for a while.
Love. That's my line of the show.
Yeah. All right, Bobby.
Please.
I'll throw it out too.
Thank you.
Feeling so generous. I love so many things about this.
Yeah.
One, just the validation of you don't know who's hot in the Simpsons universe. And the Simpsons has done enough to feed Marge is hot. You have to acknowledge it.
She is desirable.
She is desirable according to the Simpsons universe in a land of unattractive yellow people.
Even with her giant hair.
Don't pull that quote out of context and use it against me.
I was thinking that is probably the first joke on record about millennials.
And that's
the
what
most
I thought.
Ill-defined generation. We were the MTV generation, then we were Generation Y. And now we were the generation to grow up with the internet, which I wasn't until I was like 14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very ill-defined.
But that is proof positive that every generation older than you doesn't feel like you're feeling as much as they are about everything.
Well, we haven't been alive enough to have content.
Exactly. Like, it's not a young thing. It's not like, but you blame MTV and like now they'll blame the internet or Facebook.
I do feel news differently now than I did when I was 20.
Totally.
You know, it's different. And
yes, where a CNN story can move me to tears. Whereas
before I was just like, fuck the world, man.
There's so much else to do.
I'm the most jaded.
Also, the Aorta Fairies were Jeff and Akbar
From Life and Hell.
The gay couple from Life in Hell. But going back to Dr. Nick, one, I love Dr. Orb.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Orb is so great.
Dr. Orb.
I do love Dr. Nick, and this is a very Dr. Nick episode.
He's not introduced here. Can we clarify that?
No, that was Bart gets hit by a car.
Yep. Yeah.
But this is the first time we've seen him outside of an infomercial since that episode. And it reminded me, too, that I'm still kind of annoyed that they didn't. He died in the Simpsons movie. But he's come back since. Yeah. They put him back in the show, and I really wish they would just
Let's
make this guy dead.
They made a light, small, big deal out of him dying in the Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
They did. They had not, we killed someone in the movie.
That there were stakes, I think. Yeah,
and then they didn't. Whatever, it's a cartoon.
About the phone number, based on the commentary, I want to believe it was originally 1-800 or 1-900, because they said it was a real number, and then they had to change it after the first airing because they didn't know it was a real number. So I'm guessing it was like a 900 or 888.
We have a whole Laser Time episode about 1-900 numbers.
Oh, it's great.
It's something. It's very because the last 2 years I got Sling. There's all these things like call us in the middle of the night. We're up and horny and waiting to talk to you, Bob Mackie and Henry Gilbert.
Some of them were just like, why is this woman crying? Call and find out. I'm a creep.
But that, like, they were out of those. They had to be creative, like URLs with the 900 numbers. There were so many, and it was such a booming business.
Wow. Continuity wise, though. How did the kids not know Homer had gone to the hospital like 4 times? How did they not
you
know
don't ask
that?
Where your maybe dad is when he's not at home?
Maybe they were in school? I don't know.
If my dad, even if they were just day trips to the hospital, if my dad had like 4 heart attacks, I feel like I'd have some idea.
I bet you'd be oblivious. I bet you'd be balls deep in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I'd be like, I'm trying to watch Tiny Toons here, Mom. Quit crying.
I don't know. I love Flanders. Flanders philanthropy.
Bed goes up, bed goes down.
Yes.
Bed goes up, bed goes down. Bed goes up, bed goes down. Bed goes up, bed goes down.
Homer Simpson. Well, if that don't put the dink in coinky dink.
Flanders, what are you doing here?
I'm having a kidney and a lung removed.
Who are you donating them to?
First come, first serve. What are you in for?
I got a bad heart.
If I could give you my heart, Homer, I would.
Shut up, Flanders.
Even if you want to give up that stuff, you should save it for if somebody you love needs it. Maybe don't just give away
Shrimply
your
Shrimply Pibbles. You're gonna wait for him.
I don't know. Well,
it's Rick and Morty.
He could have saved Maud, is what Henry's saying. I think.
No, she's dead.
But Krusty also visits him in the hospital.
Oh God, great! You know,
this is the greatest.
Krusty, why are you here?
It's part of my public service for my glug glug, vroom vroom, thump thump.
Oh, well, I could use a good laugh.
Well, there's nothing funny about what you're about to go through. I know. I'm in the zipper club myself.
You seem okay.
Yeah? Well, I got news for you. This ain't makeup.
Okay.
That's important.
It is.
Krusty canon. Please
it
continue,
is.
Chris.
But the sounds of the lighter cracked me up.
Like, oh, yeah.
How fucking... Just how much they emphasize them. The continuity there is that there's two continuities there that Krusty, I've had heart surgery before, which is important to the first season.
Yeah, it is a plot. His pacemaker is a plot point in the mystery of who framed him.
And then after that, as you would explain that better than me.
I'm thinking about his skin color.
Yeah.
He is not wearing makeup. In fact, when he disguises himself as Rory B. Bellows in season 7 episode Bart the Fink, he puts on flesh-colored makeup to disguise himself as a regular human.
Because of just this joke.
Yes.
Of only this joke.
And that they made sure he had flesh-colored makeup. Like, that's what I loved about The Simpsons the more nerdy I got into the show, that they cared enough to know, his face is, that's not makeup.
Also, to their credit, that joke from the way later episode is still funny.
Yeah.
Whether or not you knew this.
Yeah, you don't need this scene to explain it, but this just pays it off even more.
It does. It pays off being a fan. That's such a cool thing about The Simpsons.
And speaking of great animation, just the hand motions of his explanation of what
he did. Drink, glug, glug. He's holding out his arm. Vroom, vroom,
thump, thump. He's killed someone.
Yes. And if you want to know if David Silverman worked on a scene or an episode, look for finger animation. Like twiddling fingers moving. It's just like that's a David Silverman twist.
Fingers. Yeah. He loves moving the fingers. We skipped over a line. I like when Dr. Nick says, "The coroner, I'm so sick of that guy."
I'm sick of that guy.
It's such a great line to say, like, he's killing people all the time.
I would skip over this. This line, I think, might be my favorite of the show. Because it says something. It's not that it's fun, so funny. It's so dark and says something terrible about Homer's dad.
They say the greatest tragedy is when a father outlives his son. I've never fully understood why that is. Frankly, I can see an upside to it.
It implies
that's so cruel.
It implies that Abe's hated Homer his entire life.
Yeah.
And wants to see him dead.
And that he has, like, I could see myself preferring him dead.
Yeah.
If I had to.
And also that... The Zipper Club thing, by the way, they got that from Jerry Lewis. He would say the Zipper Club for open heart surgery.
Anything that man can't pioneer.
Also, that's why God causes train wrecks is a pretty great line, too. Like, I wish they'd explain that in...
But this, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a throwaway sequence. I thought they were pulling in the same heartstrings they were for the Poison Pugu episode.
Yeah, this is the one, like, emotional payoff. Again, this is a complete Jim Brooks pulled this out of his hat.
It feels like
when they needed a scene like this. He just wrote it and gave it to them, and that was it.
Kid, I want to give you some words to remember me by in case something happens. Let's see. I'm no good at this.
Kid's whisper in his ear.
Bart, the saddest thing about this is I won't get to see you grow up because... I know you're going to turn out great, with or without your old man.
Thanks, Dad.
And Lisa? I guess this is the time to tell you. You're adopted and I don't like you. Bart! But don't worry because you've got a big brother who loves you and will always look out for you.
Oh, Dad.
It's really close to crying on this episode as that episode, really until the joke came.
It's a sweet scene. I think it feels out of place in this season, in this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like season 4 is when the absurdity really ramps up. This is more of a season 2 scene. When
season
there was,
2 and yeah. 3 moment. And it also...
I like it a lot, by the way.
James L. Brooks, he wasn't stealing from himself, but it... If it wasn't James L. Brooks who did it, I'd say they're kind of referencing Terms of Endearment, James L. Brooks scene, a film where she's talking to her kids and telling them, like, you're going to
really
hate me
scene.
And you're going to hate yourself and you don't do it and I know you love me like that. Oh, God.
It's a really good
scene.
Movie.
Oh, it kills me. Also, People Who Looks Like Things is one of the greatest one-off gags ever.
Thank you, Henry. I love it so much. And I was talking to Henry on the way over here. I want to believe that pumpkin guy was based on Ted Cruz.
Is this from this episode or from another president?
Episode. They someone taped over the end of this.
Yes, People Who Look Like Things is an unsung bit.
Yeah, it's really good.
They all look so ridiculous.
It looks like a fucking plug-in coffee pot.
The typewriter.
And isn't there a broom man as well?
Broom man, coffee pot.
But Dr. Nick, he has a bunch of great moments here. This is from his introduction to the surgery.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I've never seen one of those surgery domes. Do they exist?
They exist in real life, but they exist more in sitcoms.
Yes.
Because how else would comedic surgeries happen?
It's a junior mint. Yeah. Like, I've never seen it.
It's how they all watch these things. Yeah, to be witnesses for it. I feel like those audience things are mainly for students.
They really are, yeah.
But Dr. Nick does his thing.
I know I'm supposed to cut something, but what? And where?
Hey! The incision in the coronary artery must be made below the blockage! Below!
Thanks, little girl! The knee bone's connected to the something. The something's connected to the red thing. The red thing's connected to my wristwatch.
Good. Great fucking joke.
We missed the plot thread about Lisa really getting into the science of heart surgery and like telling Marge, like, oh, they're going to stop Dad's heart.
I'm a bleeding heart who's going through things, especially with his healthcare. Mm-hmm. And just the idea that, like, was Dr. Nick like this vision of the future? If, like, we don't publicize healthcare, you'll have, I'll do any operation. But, like, that would be great. I don't have that option at all.
He went to Hollywood Upstairs Medical College, so...
If I had someone I could pay $200 to go and see just to get my medication,
did we get a price? Awesome. Did we get a Dr. Nick price on this surgery? I don't think
we did. He said $129.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Five.
Yeah. And Andre guy just like, this is Andre. Like, my husband is still alive.
Yeah.
They need to bring that guy
back. I thought this was a really fun episode.
And then the last bit with Dr. Nick, the Dr. Seussian moment of Mr. McCraig was so great.
With a leg for an arm. Yeah, go ahead.
For an arm and a arm for a leg. Is that a direct reference to something?
I mean, it's just, it's a Dr. Seuss-type exchange, but it's not...
It seems like in a different show, it would have been the man from Nantucket.
I mean, you can't literally do that. Like, it's not a thing. No. It's also the ridiculousness of the show growing. Like, the next episode just breaks reality completely in Simpsons. This is close.
It made Bob cough. I mean, like, breaking reality.
Sorry, I've been very sick.
I know you have. But we're at the end. And I do love the heart ending because I like it when whoever scores The Simpsons whenever they get some work. Mm-hmm. They don't usually. That was really
cute.
Fun for me.
It's a nice cute ending. And I think we have some... this is the only or maybe one of the two episodes on the season 4 DVD set that actually has deleted scenes.
It does.
They really have deleted scenes next season.
We're debating over whether to capture every one of them for you or just some of them.
Some are deleted for a reason. Yeah, these are all kind of boring.
Some of these are just like tags on the end of scenes. Like season 5 Honored will have every deleted scene. Some of them are good. This one, I think there's one where Wiggum is in a cafe... And
they just leave without paying.
Yeah,
the bad cops.
He's condescending to the waitress. He's like, "You don't know how this works, do you?"
Why did this episode have? You know, the other episodes had deleted scenes.
I want to feel like they didn't keep them.
Oh, they did. They have said that they did not keep them. They chucked them when they were gone.
And they might have kept them for this one just on accident. They could have found them. Yeah.
And the joke I really liked was that they showed Sideshow Mel in the cannon, and the cannon goes off in the deleted scene, and they imply that there was another clown below Mel in there.
Right.
And also, the original ending was less fun and musical. It was a callback to Homer eating the pizza and them not knowing how he got pizza in
place. Yeah, it wasn't as heartwarming. It was more of a, like, kind of just a, kind of, you know, blackout joke ending.
Well, so Homer definitely seems weak and on the mend, but...
The look on his face is like, if you've ever seen your dad come out of an operation, I didn't realize, because my dad hadn't happened to my dad until that point, but the look on his face, like, when you see your father, and probably mother, but father, the guy...
Let's think of fathers.
Well, the guy you think of to be the strength of your household, and, like, I didn't see that until it was, like, 30, like, when he had a neck operation, and he can barely open his eyes, but, like, I love you guys, like, just signaling to you.
Like a weary smile.
It hit me really hard. Like, only in this viewing, never before.
And Homer would need probably months of recovery for open-heart surgery,
lifestyle would be changed completely.
Yeah, I mean, like they cut open your chest and your leg for that. It's not an easy surgery to go through.
And, for Homer to...
He literally Homer says changed. How it's done. They take the ventricle from your leg.
That still seems like science fiction to me, but I know it happens every day.
It happens. Bob, we can talk about it on the show. show, they're going to do their first head transplant soon.
Oh, my God. I've seen Reanimator. It's a bad idea.
But, yeah, Homer...
Don't judge all your views in the future on Jeffrey Combs.
That's real science.
Homer in real life would have to completely change his diet, lose weight. Like, getting open-heart surgery does not fix you or put you back to normal. It stops you from dying, but you need to recover and make major lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And Homer didn't do any of those things. And then they later... becomes just a joke of, like, in the Carnival Grifters episode with they say, Homer, you can't go on this thing. You've had a heart attack, remember? He's like, no. And he just gets on the ride anyway. They made a joke of it on the show that Homer forgets his heart attack.
Isn't there one joke that's like, correction, 3 heart attacks at some point?
Yeah. I did like that line too. Like, oh, I thought you meant brain hemorrhages.
Right. Well, it's funny because, like, I want to think this is just like part of the continuity, but there would not be a new episode for a month in 92 to 93. So I feel like that was just Homer's time off in recovery before he became monorail operator. Right. So yeah. It makes sense to me.
That episode's coming.
It's coming up next. But thank you for listening. This is a mercifully short, maybe under an hour episode of Talking Simpsons. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for somethingawful.com and fandom.com, and that's powered by Wikia. And you can find my other podcast, Retronauts, at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. It's a classic gaming podcast. I think you'll like it if you like hearing my voice. And of course you do. Mm. Where can we find everyone else?
I'm HENERYG on Twitter, and you can also find my writings on fandom.com, and follow me on Twitter, you know, if you can take my misery. I'm trying to calm down with it just a little bit, but it's hard, man. It's hard. But also, I'm on tons of Laser Time podcasts, including, I believe this week, Bob and I will be on Vigigame Apocalypse.
Ah. Yeah.
And not only that, but I am on all the classic Talking Simpsons episodes, like the first season, which you can only hear if you are a subscriber to patreon.com/lasertime, also the home to our many special episodes.
It's true. And a weekly exclusive episode where lately you can just watch a few libtards cry into their microphones.
Yes. I feel somewhat
their tears
punished.
Are so yummy and sweet, aren't they?
I feel somewhat punished for, remember in 2012 we recorded a podcast that was mostly us like gloating, like Obama won, Republicans are done. We did it. And then
did we?
Like,
I don't remember doing
did
that.
We really
but we are part of the problem.
That is when we got a bunch of responses from people who were just like, I'm unsubscribing, I cannot take the glad handing liberals anymore.
I'd like to, if you made it this far, we kept that out of this episode. Maybe it'll say out of the next one, which will be hard.
This is our first episode since America died, and so it's been good.
So, yes, please join us for our next episode about seething mob mentality.
Yes.
And a huckster
monorail
who tricks the world into spending a lot of money on something
not
they shouldn't
world,
do.
The world, just North Haverbrook.
But he's played by Lovell Phil Hartman, R.I.P.
He is.
So stay tuned for March versus the Monorail next week on Talking Simpsons.
Infotainment.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV. Thank you.